Right now, a new study on the most commonly diagnosed psychiatric disorder among young children, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. Researchers from the National Institute of Mental Health and McGill University found that some brain regions in children with ADHD develop normally, but tend to mature later in the brains of children without the disorder. This could explain why some kids diagnosed with ADHD seem to outgrow it. It also helps put to rest the debate about whether or not ADHD results from a brain deficiency. If you have questions about ADHD or what the study might mean for children with a disorder, our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. And we're joined now by NPR science correspondent John Hamilton, who's been covering this, and he joins us here in Studio 3A. Welcome.
Hi, good. Great to be here.
Good to have you. So give us some details about this study. What precisely did it conclude? What does it tell parents about ADHD and its root causes?
Well, what was different about this study was that instead of looking at, often these studies look at brain scans of children who have the disorder or don't have the disorder, this study did something a little different in that it was able to take brain scans at multiple points in time of the same kids. So you were not only able to look at their brains at any given point in time, you were able to look and see how the brain developed. And they were looking at the way they describe in the paper is they call it maturation. But in fact, what they were looking at was the thickness of the cortex. This is the outer mantle of the brain where we do a lot of our thinking. And they looked to see when that mantle reached its maximum thickness. Hmm. And what they found when they compared, they saw that all kids went through the same pattern where it starts out relatively thin, it gets thicker, and then it thins out again into the teen years. And what they found was that in kids who had ADHD, the group that had ADHD, they were maturing. They were reaching this maximum thickness about 3 years later than the other kids. But then after that, it appeared that they were heading toward the same place that the typical kids were.
Hmm. So what parts of the brain showed this delay in maturation? And does that sort of explain some of the complications that these children have?
Well, you could see it in a number of parts of the brain, but it was most pronounced in the front part of the cortex. And there's a part of the brain that's often referred to as the executive center. It's where it controls our behavior and helps us make good decisions, and it also has things to do with focus and attention. And, of course, those are exactly the things that seem to go awry in kids who have ADHD. So, in fact, you were seeing this biggest difference in the place exactly where you would expect to in the brain.
Hmm. And what's the sort of underlying implication of this, of these findings? In other words, we know that ADHD is a fairly common diagnosis. Should this bring some measure of comfort to people whose children have the diagnosis? Because we're talking about a slowness develop rather than a deficiency or a malformation or some other kind of problem.
Well, it certainly is. It gives some comfort to know that many kids, that when you look at their brains, they do seem to mature later, but seem to be heading for the same direction as other kids. That certainly is reassuring. However, the thing that's not clear is just because as a group these kids' brains matured later and seemed to be catching up as years went, that doesn't mean that every child does. And in fact, there are many adults with ADHD who you presume their brains have not caught up with other people. And it's perhaps half of all the kids diagnosed with ADHD. And these researchers suspect that if they were to get enough people that they could break it down into smaller groups, you would see some kids, a subgroup of kids, whose brains don't catch up.
Mm. And does it say, do we learn anything about medications that are routinely prescribed to children with ADHD? Do stimulant medications taken by children affect brain development in any way? Do we know anything about that?
Well, a lot of the kids in this study were medicated, as is true of almost any group of kids that have ADHD. And there's been a lot of questions raised in the past about whether perhaps some differences that you saw in the brains of kids with ADHD could have been caused by the medication and not by the underlying disorder. And so far, studies suggest that that's not the case and that the medication is not affecting, it helps with the symptoms, but it is not affecting underlying brain development.
We're talking with NPR science correspondent Jonathan Hamilton about a new study on ADHD, and we're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. Let's take a call from Martha, who's calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Martha.
Hello. How would you know if you're an adult with that's been diagnosed with ADHD, how would you know if your brain matured to the point where where you no longer had it. I mean, all along, what they've done is determined that people had ADHD by, you know, they had a regular scale that they'd look at and see what your past history was, if you had it, or, you know, and, you know, if you had it, all the symptoms as a child and were hyperactive and had you know, those tendencies. So how would you know? I'm an adult with ADHD, supposedly. Have I outgrown it?
Okay, Martha, we get the question. Thanks for the call. What do you think, John?
Well, I should make clear that the type of test, so you cannot take an MRI scan, you can't look at the brains of people and diagnose ADHD. The diagnosis is made based on the way people behave, not on what their brains look like. And whereas you can see differences in groups of kids, if they have ADHD or not, you cannot look at any individual brain and use a brain scan to diagnose it. So let's make that clear. The other thing is that it appears that in people like the caller who talk about being adults with ADHD, it probably is the case. Researchers suspect it is the case that their brains never have caught up, and that's why they still have the symptoms, whereas the symptoms have gone away in many other people.
I see. Interesting. Let's go to another caller. Carrie is calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Carrie. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a daughter who has been diagnosed with ADHD inattentive type, and I've read that when the new DSM comes out, they're actually thinking about separating that into a different disorder. I was wondering if this study addressed the different subtypes.
No, this study was not able to address different subtypes of ADHD. In fact, they would like to have a much bigger study where they could divide up, but in this case, they simply did not have enough people in the study. Even though it was a study of more than 400 people, that was not enough so that they could break it down into the subtypes of ADHD.
Does that answer your question, Carrie?
Yes, because when people hear ADHD, they automatically think of the hyperactivity component, which my daughter does not exhibit at all.
And I should say, too, that there's a lot of confusion about this diagnosis. For one thing, you have I mean, the reason there's AD and HD is there is attention deficit and there is the hyperactivity, and they don't necessarily occur together. And you have some people who have more of one, some more of the other, some who have lots of both. And so you have many different types of people with different symptoms of this problem.
Carrie, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Molly, who's calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Hi, Molly.
Hi there. I was wondering if you could tell me, with the prevalence of the ADHD diagnosis in today's children, I wondered what your thoughts are on that in terms of how this information might be used to address it rather than medication. And then additionally, if with that they can take this information to make schools more, you know, suited for kids that have trouble sitting down all day and that sort of thing.
Well, let's take the first part of that. You talk about the prevalence of it. And when people talk about prevalence of ADHD or ADHD, you hear a lot of different numbers. I think probably the one that you hear most often is in the 5%, 3-5% range. And I'm sorry, I lost track of what you were saying in the second part of that question.
Well, just the way that, you know, medication has been the number one way to treat it versus having schools better situated for kids that have trouble, you know, sitting down for long periods of time. So I just wondered if this new information might be helpful in finding other ways to treat ADHD.
Well, certainly if you're a parent who has a child who has a condition that you think they're going to grow out of, as opposed to something that's going to be a lifelong condition, it might change your feelings about whether you want to have them on a type of medication. And it may not just be the schools. I mean, if you really believe that a child's brain is maturing later, perhaps these are kids who are in a grade higher than their brains are ready to accept the behavioral norms of that group.
Mm. Molly, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate
Bye.
It. We're going to try to get one more call in here. Let's go to Zach, who's calling from Cincinnati. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
Hi. My name is Zach Ulrich. I'm a young professional out in Cincinnati, just starting my career here. And I've lived with ADHD for about 16 years now, ever since I was diagnosed when I was about 6. And I've had various just types of behavior that have been associated with the ADHD that I've had to learn to adjust and learn to ameliorate my whole life. And I'm wondering, what parts of the brain does this study suggest are being affected, and how would that affect one's behavior typically?
Hmm.
Well, the part of the brain where the maturation difference was most obvious was, I said, it's in the frontal cortex. This is an area of the brain that's usually called the executive center or something like that. And there's a reason it's called the executive center. It's because it helps us make decisions, decide when to take actions, suppress inappropriate behavior. And it also, of course, has to do with attention and focus and those sorts of things. So that's where, you know, this study is telling us that's where things are going. I'm not going to say they're going wrong, but they're happening later. And in some cases, perhaps not being resolved even as kids grow up.
I see. And is there, just to add on, is there sort of a level of ADHD that you could have where possibly this would never develop and where this is something that you would have to constantly adjust for your whole life?
When you say this would never develop, you mean the behavior would never resolve,
exactly,
or the brain
right,
would never
exactly.
mature?
Right, where you would have to make a conscious effort.
I think most experts would say that that's exactly the case, and that when you look at kids who are getting diagnosed with this, what researchers say is maybe half of them are going to essentially grow out of it. That doesn't mean they'll have no symptoms, but by and large, it's going to resolve on its own. But then you have the other half of people who are going to have to cope with this their whole life, and they are going to have to learn mechanisms to help them function acceptably in the world, and it's not necessarily easy.
Hmm. Zach, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's take another call. Let's go to Monica, who's calling from St. Louis Park. Hi, Monica. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I'd just like to say that I think the study is great. It's nice to know that this is the future of this whole ADHD thing. I was just curious if they were planning on doing any studies on adults with ADHD to see if they could find something similar.
Yes and no. I think what they would like to do this is a study where it had kids, mostly we're talking about people from 6 to 16 in this study. But I think what the researchers would like to do is continue. They've been scanning some of these kids every couple of years, you know, for better part of a decade now. I think what they would like to do is keep following them into adulthood so that 10 years from now, you might have a much better idea of what the brains of people, adults with ADHD look like, at least well into their 20s.
Okay, that's awesome.
Monica, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And Jonathan Hamilton, we're just about out of time, but sort of final word, how should parents, teachers, doctors react to these findings? I mean, what's sort of the bottom line here?
Well, I think probably the question it raises is, if I have a kid who has been diagnosed, I need to be, what I want to know is this the kid who's going to grow out of it or a kid who's not?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's no way to tell that right now. But you can certainly look for signs of how a kid is changing over time. Do they seem to be progressing but just are a little bit behind? Do they seem to be closing that gap? And you might be able to get some idea whether your kid is one of the ones who grows out of it or whether they have problems they're going to have to deal with their whole life.
Jonathan Hamilton is a science correspondent here at NPR. He joined us here in Studio 3A. Thanks, Jonathan, for coming in.
You're welcome.